This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Fay Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Fay Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful.
Happy Veterans Day.
Thank you. It is a wonderful day, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it seems like, we were talking about this a little while ago, that it's strange to have a holiday on the weekend. We're used to it falling during the week, and so now it's a little bit different.
But, it is, because usually Veterans Day is either on a Monday or it's on a Friday.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so it's unusual for it to be on a weekend.
Yeah.
But people can celebrate more. There'll be more people off work.
Yeah.
And there'll be more people that can celebrate.
Well, and it is such an important day in our history, because it is a chance to honor those who have served our country, who have allowed us to live the way that we do. But not only the veterans, but also for their families, because the families of veterans have gone through just as much as the veterans themselves, you know, as the support team that they need.
That's exactly right. A lot of people don't realize, you know, the wives have went through almost as much as the husbands.
Yeah.
Because they've been gone a long time each time, and you have to make do without them and to worry about them all that time till they come home.
It is. It's a lot to take care of, not only, you know, with everything here at home and you know, maybe working, but, you know, also if there's kids involved, you know, you've got to, you know, comfort the kids, and you've got to watch over them and assure them that everything is okay. And so, I mean, it's a very, very difficult, job.
And a lot of them don't remember Daddy when he comes home. That's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you take a two-year-old and Daddy comes home and they don't know who Daddy is.
Right.
So you have to get reacquainted with your children.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of things that go on.
Exactly.
And
so.
Anyway, and, you know, all over the country, they'll have parades. They'll have different things, you know, in remembrance of everybody serving.
Yeah.
And as you know, this started back in 1918, World War One.
Really?
That's when this started. Yes.
Wow.
Armistice Day.
Mm.
Do you know when it really happened?
No.
11th day, 11th hour, 11th month of 1918.
Now that you say that and put it that way, yes, now I remember, but...
And that's the hour and day it's always celebrated.
Wow.
11th day, 11th hour, and the 11th month.
Well, today is the 11th day of the 11th month, so...
That's right. So it is today.
It's very close.
Yes, and it started out, as you know, as Armistice Day.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it really was. And then it was changed... You know, years later, to Veterans Day. And they also have honored all the years the guy who started it. There was a veteran, a World War II veteran, and he is the one that said, we need to do this.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And to start with, it was just, they wanted him to read a proclamation every year about Armistice Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they did for years.
Wow.
And Calvin Coolidge was in when we started this.
Look at you with all this information. Wow. My goodness.
Yeah. Calvin Coolidge was in when we first started it.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's finally signed into law, who do you think it was?
I have no idea.
Dwight Eisenhower.
Of course it was.
Yes.
That was my next guess.
Yes. because, you know, he was head of the Central Command, Allied commander of Europe, you know. So he was glad to sign it in the law.
I'm sure.
Because he had served with all these guys many, many years.
Yeah.
And it affects veterans from everything, from World War II all the way up.
Oh, sure, yeah.
You know, and a lot of people don't know the difference between Memorial Day and Veterans Day.
Exactly. There is a difference. Memorial Day is when we honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Veterans Day is when we honor those who have served and are still here. And
that's
It's really more of a celebration today, as Memorial Day is more like an honorable.
That's right. It's an honorable deal to honor all those, like you said, who gave the ultimate sacrifice from every branch. Doesn't matter what war you were in. And this is finally, since the 50s, is to honor every veteran who served.
And that's why this is so important.
It is. And, of course, if you take the World War One veterans, they're all gone.
Yeah.
There's none of them left. Mm-hmm. And there's very few of World War II veterans left.
Few and far between.
That's right. And, you know, they bring the old planes. I know they have to Addison Airport and several others, and take them flying. Mm-hmm. And you'll take them on some brief jaunts, and they love it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and last year they were taking the veterans to the War Memorial in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
And that was nice.
Yeah.
For them to go and see that.
So this is a day where we thank everybody who has served, their families as well, and it's a day to say thank you.
That's right. It is a thank you, a big thank you, because all of us might not be here if it wasn't for them.
Exactly.
You know, they did something all of us can't do, is everybody cannot go overseas and do this.
Right.
And yet they volunteered. It was a voluntary army. They volunteered to go and serve their country.
It takes a very special person to do that. Like you say, not all of us can do that.
No, we couldn't. And, you know, they when they go, lots of times they have served more than one tour of duty.
Yeah.
Because they were needed.
Yeah.
You know. And then a lot of them made it a career.
Yeah.
And I'm still a Navy person. I love those whites. And all that, I just do. And their hats, you know, and the braid. Oh, I'm just.
You love a man in uniform.
I do. I love a man in uniform. I think they look so nice. And I've never got to go to New York.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have Navy Day and all this. And you know, the big ships come in to New York Harbor.
Yeah.
And they have a day when you can go visit the troops and the ships.
Yeah.
And you can see what a big ship looks like.
They're huge. You can't even fathom it until you actually see one.
That's what they tell me.
Yeah.
Until you went on it, then you realize how small a person you are.
Exactly. Yeah. It'll put everything back in perspective real quick.
Yeah. And our ships now are so big anyway.
Yeah.
You know, but they do come to New York and do that once a year. That's awfully nice.
That is really cool.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's give out the phone number.
Let's do that.
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
And don't forget, you can always go to the website, AmericanFinancialMidland.com, see what people have been really making. These are real hardcore numbers. Find out what it's like. I mean, this is all about preparing yourself so that you can retire early, happy, and wealthy. And that's really part of the plan. And it is an entire plan. This is not like an investment where you're in and then you're out. This is part of a step-by-step plan that you put together over several years to help people retire. Because I'm sure that you've seen people, because most of us have at least heard stories of people who didn't plan properly for retirement. Either they didn't plan at all, or they kind of guessed and planned poorly, and then it comes time to go ahead and retire, and then all of a sudden, you know, you're a few years into it, and you go, uh-oh, we may not have enough money, I may have to go to work, and that's not the way to retire.
That's exactly right. You know, it's like everything else. You have to plan it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner. If you go in there at the last minute and say, I'll just put this together, you don't have time.
Yeah.
You know, that's one way to put it in perspective. You've got to do something and line it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to say, okay, this year we need to put $150,000, $200,000 with Faye and start, you know, turning our money toward retirement. You can't wait and say, Faye, I've got $50,000.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, we won't take $50,000. If that's all you've got in the world, you need to just keep it in the bank account.
Yeah.
So we're looking for people who are, you know, want to get their retirement started, that they don't trust the stock market completely, because that would be a bad mistake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I've been reading all week about people are getting worried. You know, It's been up quite a few months now. Mm-hmm. They're afraid it'll have a downturn.
Sure.
And if you get caught in the downturn, you'll be just like in 08.
It's inevitable. It has to happen. What goes up must come down.
So you have to protect your money. Yeah. This is your livelihood, your retirement. Mm-hmm. If you let this go, you don't have anything else.
Right.
So it's important to get started, do it conservatively. We don't do it all in one policy. We map it out. And then you can retire happy and wealthy.
So how does it work when somebody comes to you and say, okay, right now we're living on X number of dollars a month? Do you take that into consideration, or do you, because by this time, by retirement time, everything should be paid off. So we're not worried about mortgage and car payments and things like that. We're talking about actual money that people live on a day-to-day basis. I need X amount of dollars. Do you look at that and say, you know, you probably don't need all this, or you could probably retire with a little bit more each month. How does it work between the planning process and the actual retirement?
Well, we talked about the fact that once they no longer have a job, you know, their income is over. Mm-hmm. So all they're going to have is that lump sum, you know, the 401k lump sum. It may be $200,000. If you retired today, it might be $3,000. Okay, how far is that going to go? It sounds like a lot of money, but it isn't.
Mm-mm.
You know, you probably need $1 million to $4 million.
Wow.
You know, depending what your lifestyle is. If you're taking $100,000 a year now, $1 million wouldn't last but 10 years.
No, it's.
Do you realize that?
It'll go away in a hurry.
So, you know, when I say you need $1 million to $4 million, mm-hmm. that's basics.
So what do you do when somebody says, oh my goodness, I don't have anywhere near that. Why even bother and just get all downtrodden and think, well, I'm never going to get it, so
no,
I'll just work forever.
If you've got at least $150,000 to get you started.
Okay.
You know, and you figure if you can average, you know, 12% a year,
mm-hmm.
you know, it'll double in 6 to 7 years. But most of our people have doubled in a little bit less than that because they've had money coming in early.
Yeah.
And that's the secret. You've got to have that money coming in early.
Mm-hmm.
And most of ours have. You know, we still have some that have gone over.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's one of the risks. I mean, there's risk with any investment. But when somebody looks at that huge chunk of money, they're probably looking at, like, Mount Everest in front of them. You'll break it down into like little tiny baby steps, and we'll go step by step, and then before you know it, you'll be halfway up the mountain, and then before you know it, you'll be all the way to the top and you can retire. So it is doable once you break it down into realistic steps, or in this case would be like individual investments.
And I've had people in the last 2 years that put money with that already retired,
mm-hmm.
And they had a pretty good nest egg, but this is really giving them the money to do things they'd like to do.
Yeah.
You know, I have one lady, and she's in her 70s. She's been retired for several years, and she's made enough this year. She's had 3 maturities this year.
Really?
Yeah. And we got to adding it up. Her income this year is $80,000 from us.
Just from the 3 maturities?
Yeah.
Really?
3 maturities.
$80,000 in 1 year is not bad at all.
I didn't think it was bad.
Golly.
And so, you know, yes, she's going to have to pay tax on it because it's not an IRA.
Yeah.
But my gosh, I'd rather have the money and pay taxes than not have any of it.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you're retired, you like you say, you have no more income, and then you have a finite number of dollars. And okay, this is how much you have. Whether you need it for 10 years or if you need it for another 30 or 40 years, this has to last. So there has to be something coming in. There has to be some kind of movement.
You've got to have income.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why even after they retire with us, they're going to keep investing with us, and we'll keep sending them interest checks or just rolling it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And a lot of people tell me, now, Faye, we've got enough for 2 years, and we're going to give the rest to you, and you manage that money. And keep our interest flowing.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people have put aside $200,000. I don't have anybody put more aside than that. They're investing the rest of it. And that way, as we go, we just keep investing it for them.
So that way they're always still, even though their paycheck is ended, they're still generating revenue.
They're generating revenue every month.
And that's important.
That's right. And so as it matures, we say, do you need money this year? No, we're 2 years out. We don't need him right now. Mm-hmm. So that way we can reinvest that interest and make him more money.
So if money is, because I know one of the things with investing in life insurance policies is it's not liquid, so you can't get to it. So what happens when, say, somebody gets to this $200,000 and then they start dwindling that down, even though they're involved in other policies and still making money, things are still happening. What happens when they start getting, when that initial $200,000 dwindles down, where do you say, okay, I think we should move some money around so you have access?
Well, most of the time, we make them keep it at that level. Okay. Whatever level we start at, we'd want to keep it at that.
All right.
So if they've used $50,000 out, the next time policy comes due, we replenish it.
Okay, so you're always putting money back in the pot.
Yeah, we got to replenish.
All right.
I want to keep it at whatever level they said to keep it at.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have said keep it at $100,000. But a lot of them have said 200.
So that's almost like the reserve where
that
people
are living.
That is
your reserve.
On. Gotcha.
And it's always in cash, always ready.
Okay. And you can access that at any point?
At any point. It's in the account that you just call and say, I need some money.
Okay.
And we'll transfer it right to your bank account at home.
Cool.
Yeah.
So people are living off that. And if any emergencies come up, you got plenty of funds.
You always got funds there.
Cool.
And if you need a new car, you got money.
Mm-hmm.
But most of them are not using it for new cars, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Their cars are new now. They can go maybe 4 years without getting a new car. And that way, it'll help them.
Yeah.
We can reinvest that money at all times.
And so if they do need a new vehicle in, say, 4 or 5 years, then there's an investment sometime that's coming due, and they can take that profit and then go pay cash. Because you don't want to finance a car.
No, not at that age.
No, not when you're retired.
No, when you retire, you need to pay cash.
Yeah.
And they'll do a trade-in, so it won't be as much anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So when people are retired, they're involved in multiple policies so that there's always something that's being stair-stepped. I know a lot of people will reinvest, and then one will come due, and then you know hopefully a few months later another one will come due, and then they'll turn around and reinvest. So it's fluid. There's always things happening.
That's right, and we want to keep it that way
mm-hmm.
because that's how they pick up the extra money.
Yeah.
You know, if there's always something coming due. And this year's been the best year yet for something coming due. You know, we've had so many policies mature. You know, the other day I said this month we had 10,
mm-hmm.
and now we've had another one. And it's a small one, but thank goodness it was in one of those blends that we talk about, the old people.
Uh-huh.
Yes, it was. Wow.
All right, let's talk about those policies, the type that you invest in. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, the policies that you're referring to are an elderly person's life insurance policy, which is something that you started investing in many, many years ago. You don't do that anymore.
No, and they're still not dead either.
Yeah.
I mean, part of it has come due, but mm-hmm. we still have three or four of them that are not dead.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's my biggest worry.
Yeah.
That's my really about what we do. This is my really big worry. Get these people out of these old policies that have got people that are 90 years old in them.
And once the last one rolls off, that's it. You're
that's
only investing.
That's it. We're out of that.
You're looking for certain types of policies, certain types of policy holders. What exactly are you looking for?
We're looking with people that are, you know, they can be 30 years old, they can be 70,
mm-hmm.
but not any older than that. You know, I don't want anyone that's 80. We're not doing any 80-year-olds.
Yeah. You know.
Not doing any 90s. So no one need to not even call me about it. Don't send me one. I'm not doing it.
Because if you're 90 and you're still around, you're probably going to outlive all of us combined.
That's it. They're going to outlive us. They'll live to be 100.
Yes. Which is great for them. That's the ultimate goal. But for an investment purpose, that is not of any interest to you whatsoever.
No, no interest whatsoever. You know, I don't want to hear that they're playing golf.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, at 90. Oh, my gosh.
So you're looking for policyholders that have been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer.
Absolutely.
And these are policies that the policyholder needs to sell for a number of reasons. So nobody's going in. Nobody's taking anything from anybody. The policyholder needs to sell it for a couple of reasons.
That's right. And our biggest goal, as you know, is if they've got cancer, to get them the treatment they need.
Sure.
And that's the way to do it, is to sell us their policy.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a lot of it this year. You know, we have sold so many, it's amazing. People that really need cancer treatment. And somebody asked me the other day, Faye, do you think cancer has gone down? Well, I can't tell that it has. It may have, and maybe we're missing it somewhere. Mm-hmm. But we did the national statistics on how many are dying, and it was just amazing.
It really is.
I mean, I think maybe there's something in the environment. I don't know. I shouldn't even say that because I don't know it.
Yeah.
But it seems like because they're dying so many this year.
Yeah, it really does. And so, I mean, I know that there's a lot of breakthroughs as far as treatments go. But
they tell me there are.
Boy, those are expensive.
And one's $1 million.
I mean, people just cannot. They can't go afford that.
How's it going to benefit anybody?
Exactly. And then even before something like that comes to market, you know, we're talking several years. And then by the time they get it down to an affordable price, it's even more years. So as it is right now, we still have an immediate diagnosis of cancer all over the place. And so it just happens to be the a fact of today's society.
That's right. And I find that if we buy stage four and it's cancer, you know, they're going to make some money. Mm-hmm. Our people will make money. The people will get their money and get on with the treatment.
Yes.
So that's a good thing. I found that, you know, we've done a few ALS and some of them came in real quick, but we've got one right now that's about to go over. Mm-hmm. And the person's in a wheelchair. They can't talk. They're in bad shape. But yet they're hanging on.
Yeah.
So cancer is still the best policy for us.
Yeah. And what happens is, you know, when somebody is diagnosed, a lot of times they need to sell that policy. Because like we say, you know, cancer treatments are very, very expensive. So they need to sell that policy. They need to do it quick so that they can take that that money and go ahead and get the treatment that they need. But in order for them to sell it, somebody has to be there to buy it. So how does the process work? Say I wanted to sell my policy. What happens?
Well, we would try to make a deal with you. We would bid on your policy. We would try to buy that policy. And sometimes the expectations of an owner is so high you can't even buy it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't realize that our clients have to make a little bit of money on it.
Yeah.
They're not trying to get rich, but they have to make a decent return.
Right.
They have got to make at least 12%, you know, per year on it. So we have to explain that to the owners.
Right.
You know, and try to make a deal with them that way. So if we can make a deal, we will, and give them all that cash.
Yeah. And it is, and they do get a lump sum.
They get a lump sum cash. They no longer own the policy. We own it with our clients.
So then what happens? You own the policy, but so when does the client get paid? How does all that?
When the person passes away.
Okay.
The life insurance company sends a check to the bank. The bank distributes the money.
Okay.
Yeah, always the bank distributes the money. We don't touch it, beginning or end, ever.
Mm-hmm. And that is really for not only it's law, but also it protects the investor.
They need to be protected.
Mm-hmm.
I used to say from themselves, you know, but they need to be protected all the way around.
Yeah.
And this does that. Their checks always go to the bank. If it's an IRA, it goes in the bank. If it's a custodial account, it goes to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
We don't touch their money. It's wired, FedExed every day. If they bring in money, it's FedExed out. If it's a transfer, the transfer goes direct to the bank.
Okay.
Then the bank pays them.
So it's a pretty simple, streamlined process.
It's streamlined.
So once somebody decides to sell their policy, how long does the bidding, because you're bidding against other companies, against, you know,
always,
trying to get this policy. So how long is the bidding process?
Sometimes 2 to 3 weeks.
So not long at all?
No.
We're not talking about 6 months or years of negotiations.
I think that's a long time. 2 to 3 weeks. It gets on my nerves sometimes.
The sitting and the waiting. Come on, tell me something.
That's right, because, you know, we can be sitting there on a $2 to $3 million policy. We don't even know if we've got it.
Wow.
So we're trying to find out, have we bought it?
Okay, so then once you get it, say the bidding is over and they say, okay, Faye, you've won the policy, what happens and what kind of a time frame are we looking at?
Okay, then we're looking at another 2 weeks to get signed contracts.
Okay.
The people that are selling it got to sign everything. All the documents have to be signed saying they don't have an ex-wife. You know, if they do, the ex-wife's got to come and sign off on it. You know, mm-hmm. we've already been through that.
Yeah.
So all those papers have to be documented. The legal team has to come in and finish that up. Then when it comes to us, we sign it immediately. And our people have already committed to the policy, so they're ready to go.
So then it's yours free and clear.
Yes.
And then how do people, because I know you have multiple clients.
Uh-huh.
You've got some that have been with you for a long time. You have some probably that have come to visit you for the first time in the last week or two. So how does the process work? Whoever's
been waiting the longest gets first dibs, right. Always.
So there's basically a waiting list.
Yes. All so right. Whoever is there first, and if they've been waiting 20 days, they're going to get a policy first.
Okay. And say it's a $2 million policy.
Uh-huh.
How many people roughly might be in something like that?
Oh, my. A $2 million one.
I'm just making up numbers here. I'll throw you off.
50 or 60 people at least.
Okay. So there's plenty of opportunities.
Oh, yeah. There'd be a lot of people in it.
Oh, okay. Fantastic. Yeah. And then minimum investment is?
Well, on a regular basis, it's $100,000 if you're coming in with us.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're already in with us, per policy, it could be $50,000 or it could be $100,000.
So the math varies. There's
yeah.
variables.
Once you're looking at policy, yes.
Okay. All right. So then once everybody's in the policy, say there's 25 people that are going into the X policy.
Okay.
And you say, okay, here's this policy. We want you to invest in it. I say, okay, looks good. I'm in. What do I do? Do I sign something?
Yes, you've got to sign your contract.
Okay.
The contract's about 80 pages.
Whoa.
So we've covered everything that could go wrong.
What in the world is in those 80 pages?
Oh, it's interesting, let me tell you. The lawyers, you know, they want to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get the kind of money they do to write contracts, they've got to make it good.
Sure.
Yeah. So everything is covered.
Okay.
And so then you come in the office just do it by email, either way.
Okay, so if I'm like on vacation in Iowa and I'm not near, you can just email it to me.
We can email it and say, get all this signed.
Easy breezy, no trouble.
Yeah.
Okay,
so then you're in.
All right.
Then we have to print all the contracts and send you a copy.
Okay.
The bank gets a copy and we get a copy.
So once I'm in and,
uh-huh.
and the investment is started, what do? I sit and wait, hang out?
Yeah, you don't have
do
a good thing after that.
That's it.
You're finished.
At that point, I'm just waiting for the policy to mature.
You're just waiting on check.
That's about the easiest thing I have ever heard in my life.
It is pretty easy.
Wow. And so the return per month is roughly what you shoot for.
It's roughly 1% a month.
See, now you can't beat that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
So say it's an 18-month policy,
uh-huh.
which means the life expectancy of the policyholder is around
18%.
Year
18
and a half.
Months.
So what if the policy matures in 6 months?
You're still going to get 18%. Doesn't matter.
Just a lot faster.
You get it a lot faster.
So let me get this clear. So if an 18-month policy comes in 6 months,
You're going to still get 18%. You just get it early.
Profit margin is not reduced. It's
No, no, no. It's the same amount.
This is incredible.
I think so.
So what's the downside? Because there's
got to be something
else. The downside
is it didn't come in 18 months.
Ah.
It came in 24.
Ah.
Yeah.
So that's one of the risks.
That's your biggest risk
and
right there.
And then what happens?
Then you get paid in 24.
Okay.
Same amount of money, but you got paid in 24 months rather than 18.
But premiums, you may end up having to pay some premiums.
Yeah, you would have to pay some extra premium.
Okay.
I saw one yesterday that the premium was $72 per person per year.
I'm sorry, how much?
$72.
So out of your profit margin, say, I'm just throwing out some wild makeup numbers.
Okay.
Say investment of $100,000, we're looking at 18% profit, which means $18,000. You know you're going to get that regardless. It's just a matter of waiting.
Yes.
That's not going to go down. We know that. So if I have to pay $72 in premiums out of $18,000 in profits, there's nothing.
No, it's such a small amount, you'll never miss it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, we've had some that were a lot bigger than that.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got some right now, the premiums are so cheap, it's ridiculous.
Really?
Yeah. I hesitate to even bill them. It's so small.
It's almost going to cost you more in postage.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. Our accounting, it takes time to send out all that stuff for $72.
Yeah. All right. So we know that the premiums could go over and you may have to pay some of those.
That's right. It could happen.
What else? What's the other downside?
Okay. It's not liquid during that time.
Okay.
If you said, oh my gosh, I need that $50,000. Well, you can't get it. It's invested.
Mm-hmm.
Until they die, it's not liquid.
So what if I need it? What happens?
Well, you shouldn't have been in the policy.
But you'll make sure that that situation doesn't play out because people have to, they have to be qualified. They have to, you know where everything is. You know,
we have to know that they do have extra money, that they could have covered that shortfall.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want someone that can't cover their shortfall.
So somebody has to be accredited.
That's right. We don't want them if they're not accredited.
And what are some of the requirements?
You've got to either be worth $1 million without your house, mm-hmm. or you have to make $200,000 a year.
All right. And that's okay. it. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about all the investments combined. So if somebody has rental property, if they've got
cattle, if they've got new farm equipment, it doesn't matter. Like you said, the rentals are part of it. If they have commercial buildings, or if they have a ranch with oil on it, all that oil money is counted.
What about 401k?
Oh, yeah, they should have put that in.
All of it goes in.
Yes, your 401k. I've had people leave it out. And a guy said, all I have is some stock. I go, it's just like money.
It's just like money, but different.
It is. It's different, but we can count that as money, I assure you. Yeah.
Oh, wow. All right. So policies may go over. You may have to pay premiums. It's not liquid. What's the third risk?
Oh, a life insurance company might go under. Well, and we've never had that happen in Texas, so we don't anticipate that to happen.
All right. What's the fourth risk?
That's it. Three.
What? That's it?
That's all I know about is three big risks.
There's got to be something else because this is too good.
That's three.
All right.
That's enough.
So the one thing I think we should point out is because we're obviously comparing the stock market and what's happening now with it being up, and we talked about that a little bit earlier, but we know what goes up must come down, and I think 2008 and 2009 is still in the back of most of our heads, how fast we can lose just about everything.
You can.
And you don't want to do that, especially when you've been saving and investing and creeping up on retirement, and you're getting within a year, 6 months, and 3 months. You don't want to have that carpet ripped out from under you at the last minute.
Let me tell you something. If you're 60 years old and that money goes bye-bye, what are you going to do? Let me ask you.
You start all over.
You can't.
And then there's...
How the heck are you going to start over at 60?
I know it. Exactly.
You lose all that money in the stock market, you're in bad shape.
There is a serious problem on your hands if that happens.
I had some people the other day in. They said, we never did recover it all.
Yeah, I'm
sure. Never did get it back.
Yeah. So what's important about alternative investments like investing in a life insurance policy is that whatever happens on the stock market, whatever happens around the globe, and we know so many factors out of our hands affects the stock market, and it's not anything that you can prevent. All it does is just keeps you up at night worrying, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? If this goes up, what happens there? If war breaks out or tensions in the Middle East or, you know, the price of oil goes up someplace else, or all these variables can affect your money and you can't do anything about it. You're completely at the mercy of fate. That's a little bit risky. I mean, you want to have
a little bit risky if you're 60 years old.
Yeah.
You should be giving that a lot of thought.
So this type of investment has nothing to do with any of those?
No, it has nothing to do with the stock market or mutual funds.
So it cannot go down?
No. And I had a guy this week that's been a client of mine a long time, and he brought me a check for $50,000. And he said, Faye, this is out of my bond fund. I said, well, what happened? He said, I've had these municipal bonds for several years. They've never made a dime. And I go, really? He said, no, they're losing money.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got municipal bonds and they're losing money, look at them. And if they are, bring us the money.
Yeah.
I mean, he added $50,000 to his holdings this week.
That's
and I wouldn't have thought about that, but yeah. His municipal bonds aren't paying it worth a darn.
Well, you know, I mean, you know, they say if you're not making money, you're losing money.
So that's exactly. Why let it sit there?
Exactly. Use that money. Make something.
And, you know, he's been with us a long time. He's made good money.
Mm-hmm.
He's divorced, and he travels, and he's retired, and he'll take his motorhome and head for the hills.
Nice.
He's been everywhere.
And that's the kind of retirement that you dream of.
It is. It's a guy's dream.
But you're not going to get there unless you start planning.
That's right. And he did plan. And then when it didn't make as much, he brought it all to me, turned it over to us, and we've made him a lot of money.
Yeah. So how many policies would somebody be in like a year, say, for just rough.
How many would they be in?
Yeah.
Oh, seven maybe.
Oh, okay. So there, it's not just, you know, one here and then one there. There's always money going
in.
When
they sign up, we start trying to fill theirs right then.
Okay.
And get them in all these policies.
So people are well diversified.
Yes, they are.
And the great thing is none of them are ever going to go down. So they're all going to make money. You just have to sit and wait for it.
That's right.
Fantastic. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you bring in all kinds of interesting facts, whether it's something we need to add to our bucket list, a place that we need to see in Texas, or something else. What are we talking about today?
Well, today we're going to talk about Veterans Day. We've already started a little bit of it.
Brilliant.
And I wanted to talk some more about it and remind you of all the things about Veterans Day you might not know.
I probably don't. Surprise me with your knowledge.
Okay. 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 Do you remember who the armistice was with for World War One?
I want to say yes, but no.
It was with Germany. That's who it was with. So it was, as I said, it was 11th day, 11th hour, and 11th month that the armistice was signed with Germany, mm-hmm. and it went into effect at that time. And of course, we didn't rename it till 1954.
Really?
Yeah. Veterans Day, of course, as you said, we don't want to confuse it with Armed Forces Day or any of the others, because Armed Forces Day is just right around the corner, you know, from Veterans Day.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people get that confused. But when they did this, you know, way back then, it was just going to be Armistice Day for just World War One. And then they adopted a resolution in 1926 requesting that Coolidge give an annual proclamation. That's all he was going to do, and talk about the war. So that came along. And then in 1945, World War II veteran Raymond Weeks from Pennsylvania is the one that changed everything.
Really?
Yeah. He had the idea to expand Armistice Day to celebrate all veterans, not just the ones from World War One,
mm-hmm.
but all of them, two, Korean, Vietnam, everything. So he got that done. And then he led a delegation to talk about it to Eisenhower. And, of course, as you know, Eisenhower was really for it. And it was proclaimed a celebration in 1947 in Alabama and annually until his death.
Really?
So Weeks is the one who thought it up.
Wow.
And said, let's do this. Then President Ronald Reagan honored him in 1982 as the driving force behind it. And then Elizabeth Dole wrote the story for Ronald Reagan as the father of Veterans Day.
Oh, how cool.
Yeah. She was pretty smart. And then Ed Reese from Emporia, Kansas, presented the bill establishing holiday to Dwight Eisenhower. He was also from Kansas, if you remember, even though he's born in Denison, Texas. So he signed the bill into law May 26, 1954.
Fantastic.
And it became Veterans Day instead of just Armistice Day. It had been 8.5 years since Weeks had held the first Armistice Day.
You know, it's amazing how many different people were involved in this over a period of time to morph it into such a narrowed celebration into, you know, including all
everybody.
Of these. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then Congress amended the bill on June 1st, 54, replacing Armistice with the word veterans in
Fabulous.
The bill. Where
wow.
it would always be all the veterans would be celebrated.
And that is how we know it today.
That's right. And as you know, veterans are celebrated all over the United States.
Yeah.
And they always have a lot of things for them. They'll have lunches for them, picnics for them, parades, everything.
And, you know, I hate to say this, but it seems like, you know, parades and lunches and just a simple thank you is nowhere near enough.
It isn't. It really isn't. But it does at least acknowledge them for their service and what they've done for our country.
Yeah.
And I know used to, I went to some of their celebrations, and the Blue Angels would fly over or some other Air Force contingent.
Yeah.
And then they would salute the flag, and they would have songs. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah.
You know,
I think so many people are just so proud of excuse me, of those who have served in any war, whether it was one that we weren't even alive for,
yeah,
or was a more recent war. I think, you know, everybody's just so proud, and we just don't know. It's like, okay, well, thank you is not enough. A parade is not enough. But what do we do? I mean, it takes such a special person to serve.
And, you know, the Korean War, everybody did celebrate it a lot. And World War II, the big war, as we always call it, and they're the most celebrated people we have is World War II vets. But then the Vietnam War came along, and they were not treated right.
Yeah.
You know, they were not. It was a bad war, and, you know, it was, they didn't even want to celebrate them when they came back.
Yeah.
They turned against them, which was very, very wrong. And, of course, now it's turned around, and they do celebrate every Vietnam veteran that came back.
Yeah.
But they didn't there for a while.
I could not imagine having gone through that and then come back to
people who didn't even appreciate you.
Exactly. It's like, but you know, people didn't understand what they had been through. It was more about the cause, or the lack of understanding of the cause, or whatever the situation may be. And it's like, my goodness, but this was so dangerous, and they put their lives in such danger.
And if you remember, those people were so small, that that's why we were losing. Because, I mean, they could just run circles around us.
Yeah.
And, of course, Johnson was president, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And he was losing the war.
Yeah.
And nobody couldn't understand why we were losing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it was a while after they came back before they were celebrated like they should have been and honored for their service.
Yeah.
And now, of course, everybody always honors them along with everybody else.
Yes.
But it was a shame the way they were treated.
It really was. I mean, it's such a shame. I'm glad, though, that the things have finally turned around. But I don't know, you know, for those who have served in Vietnam, I don't know how you
how
put
do you
that
make
aside.
It up? I know
exactly.
You can.
How do you make it up?
No, it's hard. Mm. And of course, they are on the war memorial, just like everybody else in Washington. Thank goodness.
And that is important to go see. If you've never seen that, it really does put things back into perspective.
It really does. And you know, they had one that traveled around the country for a while.
Yeah, it came here to West Texas.
Yeah, which was really nice because people who couldn't go to Washington could see the names on it.
Yeah,
and which is really important.
Yeah, it really is.
And I hope that's the last war we have. I mean, for real wars.
Yeah.
We're stationed all the way around the world, but it's a different kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, even those that are stationed, you know, though we thank them. We thank their families, you know, because they're still, you know, here at home and, you know, doing, you know, keeping things grounded. And I mean, it's such the support staff that our troops need, even if they're not in a quote-unquote war, just serving overseas. I mean, we saw in the last couple of weeks how dangerous you know, just being stationed in another country.
Do you realize we've been in Afghanistan 13 years?
Wow, I did not realize
that. I did not know it.
Wow.
13 years that we've been in Afghanistan.
That's
holy
amazing.
Cow.
Wow.
And, of course, as you know, we've been on the Korean Peninsula all these years.
Yeah.
Since the 50s.
Yeah.
So everywhere we have been, we've left men behind to guard against tyranny.
It is very, very dangerous, but so important. You know, and I hear from some people who write those types of things off as, well, it's not really dangerous.
Oh, my God.
It is very dangerous.
It is, because they can kill you at any minute.
Exactly.
You remember several years ago, the Schofield Barracks, where those guys were killed there.
Mm-hmm.
And it is dangerous.
Yeah.
There's people who do not like us around the world.
Yeah. And
yet we've sacrificed for every one of those countries.
Exactly.
And we've sent our men to defend their countries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And anytime you have a serviceman in a United States military uniform, you're automatically a target for somebody. So it is very dangerous. And we do thank everybody that's not only serving now, but has in the past. We thank their families.
Their families especially.
Yeah.
Those families never get recognition. Nobody ever says, well, how hard is it living over here, taking care of the children without the help of your husband?
Yeah.
You know, it's very hard.
It is.
And yet they do it, and they do it gracefully. And I never hear the women complain, do you?
No, I've never heard of a single one. And I know many, many military families, as most people probably do.
Yes.
You never hear the a single complaint or anything. They're always glad to do. They're always proud.
They're proud of their husbands serving our country.
Yeah, and I'm proud of them, too.
I am, too. I'm really proud of the women and the little children.
Yeah.
You know, because they know that Daddy's not there, and they know he's coming home, but they don't know when.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
And this year, we've had a lot of servicemen have surprised their wives and kids at school.
Isn't that such a cool thing to see?
It's the coolest thing in the world.
Boy, that never gets old. I could watch those movies all day.
I could watch them every day.
Yeah.
And those little kids just, I mean, they scream for joy.
Yeah, they do.
At the sight of their fathers. It's a wonderful thing.
And they look up surprised when they don't know it. They kind of glance over and see somebody. And then they do a double take, and then they run over there and jump up on them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the best thing ever.
It is the best thing we can do.
Yeah.
And I think that's a wonderful thing. But anyway, we appreciate every veteran from every war and their families.
Yeah. So happy Veterans Day, and thanks to everybody who has served. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring.
And don't forget, you can always go to American Financial Midland. You can find real data, find real hardcore numbers that people have been making. I mean, we talk about this every Saturday about, you know, the amount of money that people can make. And it's true. And so if you want to go see it, if you want to, those are hardcore numbers. If you want to read testimonials, see what the process is like. So what is the process like when somebody comes to you for the first time and they sit down? I'm sure there's probably some questions.
Because a lot of questions.
It's a little bit, it is an alternative investment, although it's pretty straightforward. It's different. And if you know, somebody has been in the stock market or investing in things like that, you know, they've got to be a little bit worried because thinking, well, you know, this could go down, but it doesn't. And then they've probably got a lot of questions. What are maybe the top two or three questions that people
ask?
Well,
they want to know how it works. What is the process? That's the first thing they say. Mm-hmm. If they're ready to do it, they want to know the process. What do we have to do? And we explain to them, you have to open an account at the bank, at Nevada Trust. If we're doing a 401k, we've got to fill out the papers to roll it over.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a rollover, the bank, the 401k company will do it. If it's an IRA, we do it for them. We do the rollover ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then once it gets there, we'll invest your money. But you've got to get that money over there first, and that can take 2 or 3 weeks, unless you're writing a check that day.
Ah, so you can just write a check, or you can roll over, whatever is convenient.
We have a lot of people that write checks. They'll write a check for $200,000, $300,000, and take it out of their savings or wherever they've got it.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be at Ameritrade or somewhere, but they'll just give us a check.
So there's a lot of options.
A lot of options.
What else do people ask?
How much am I going to make?
Mm-hmm.
How quick will I make it? You know, how is it secured?
Well, what would be the answer to that?
It's secured by the life insurance policy.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have a real asset because you're investing in a life insurance policy. You're not invested in, you know, something else. Watermelons or cantaloupe, you know.
So for somebody who is asking, and I know it changes, the situations vary, but as a general blanket answer, how soon could somebody start making money?
Oh, 12 months usually, 24 months, because I love the 24 and 28 month ones, because
yeah,
they seem to come in early.
Uh-huh.
You know, in other words, they're saying, oh, well, this cancer, I think, will go 2 years. I look at it sometimes and say, this cancer isn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, this person's going to be dead in 12 months. And you know, I bought a lot of them, and I've been right about those.
So for somebody who has never done this before, never come to see you, they've never invested in a life insurance policy, I'm sure one of the questions is, how confident can I be in the legitimacy of this policy? How do I know that this is going to come in sometime in the next 18, 24 months-ish?
Well, they've got two reports from doctors, and the doctor says this person's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you can't believe the doctors, don't do it.
Yeah.
But if you can believe doctors, you know, these are cancer doctors saying, Joe Blow is fixing to die. Here's a copy of the life insurance policy.
Mm-hmm.
You know all the facts. You know about the policy. You know it's a term policy. You know it's with Penn Life or whoever. So you know all the facts. All you've got to do is make up your mind. Do you want to do it?
So I know people who have invested with you for a long time.
Uh-huh.
They, for the most part, if you say, okay, I've got this policy here, do you want in? They go, yeah, sure. And they don't even look. So at this point, they've been through the process enough, they know. But for the first timer, or maybe even this the second timer.
No, it's the first timer.
With the first time, just the first timer. After that, they pretty much know.
That's right.
Okay, this is a good deal.
Yeah.
So for somebody who's not done this before, how do they know? What? Because obviously, when investing this much money, we're talking about people's money. And they don't want to just take somebody's word, which is understandable. So how would they know? What would they look at? What would they see?
Well, they'll see the application for Nevada Trust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is where their money's going. It's going to the bank. You know, and their check is going to Nevada Trust. They're going to make it out to the bank. They're going to sign a contract with the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Contract isn't with me. It's with the bank. And they sign it and say, okay, I'm accredited. This is how much I make. This is what I'm worth. I want to do business with you, bank.
What about the policy itself? Like, how do we know if the policyholder really is sick? How do we know that they haven't tried something?
That's what I just told you.
And so
you've got all the medical information from the providers, from people who say, well, like Fasano.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Fasano says this person is going to die. Believe it. If Fasano says that, they're going to die.
So the investor actually has a piece of paper. They have something called page 14.
They not only have 14. They have the medical reports.
Mm-hmm.
They get the medical reports just like I do.
Now, I know this is going to be a weird question.
Okay.
But I know that people can't just regularly see a medical report because of HIPAA laws. So how do they
they
see?
Sign off on it.
Okay.
The people have to sign off on it.
All right.
And then I redact their social. I'll leave their birthday, but not their social.
So all that information is hidden. They can't get to it. But they can see, okay, this person has is in remission. They've gone through, you know,
if it's in remission, we're not buying it.
So that's not even on the table.
That's not on the table. You can get rid of that right now.
Let's mark it off. All right. So what kind of cancers are you looking for?
We're looking at pancreatic. We're looking at colon. Breast cancer is another one. Lung cancer, stomach cancer, and tongue and tonsil.
Okay.
That's the ones I'm looking for.
And you know everything that they've done. So if somebody has run off to try some magic spring water someplace.
Oh, they do that all the time.
Oh, they do.
And when they do, I buy those policies fast because they have really messed up.
Uh-huh.
They've messed up. It's a shame. But they're going to die faster than the other people. They always do.
So in the time that someone has taken, say, 3 months and they've gone to try the magic spring water diet or they've tried the broccoli diet or whatever it is, you know that is 3 months or 6 months that they should have been taking chemo to help battle cancer.
That's right.
That they haven't, and so they've just progressively.
Yeah, they said, I want alternate medicine. When they say that, we know they're not smart.
And so that's when you go after aggressively.
I do. I aggressively bid that policy.
So after somebody does this for the first time, they go through their first investment, and then it the policy matures, and they pay it. The money goes in their bank. What's usually their response after that? They call you and say, Faye, I can't believe.
What they do is say, send a little note.
Mm-hmm.
They say, Faye, thank you very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't believe I hadn't done this sooner.
Mm-hmm. I've had a lot of people say that.
Put me in as many as you can.
That's right.
So that's pretty
then
much
I've
the
got people now that say, I want $250,000 in each policy or I'm not doing it.
So they're all in.
They're all in.
Wow. Sweet.
And it's hard to get them all their money in each one of those big policies, but we're going to try.
But you have a lot of availability. You're always bidding on policies. There's always things that are happening.
That's right. We're working it every day of our life.
Now, I know there's one question that has probably been in the back of somebody's head, especially
well,
if they haven't
that?
Been here. Fees.
Fees, okay. If you're with Nevada Trust, it's $250 a year. If you're over at Bank of Utah, it's $350.
So hardly anything.
Yes.
Fantastic. All right. So you have availability for appointments this coming week, I assume.
I do.
All right. What kinds of things do people need to do? Should people gather documents
bring
today?
Bring a statement.
Okay.
If they've got a 401k, they need to bring a statement. If it's an annuity, bring a statement. If it's an old annuity. Well, you know, just bring a statement of what you want us to look at.
Mm-hmm. And if somebody comes to talk to you, it doesn't necessarily mean that they have to sign anything right now.
No,
heavens
no. They can just come talk it over and go home and talk it over with your wife.
Mm-hmm.
and see what she says.
And that happens. And sometimes they'll come talk to you, go home, talk to their wife. Then they'll both come back and talk to
you. That's the way it ought to be.
And that you just want everybody to be comfortable before they start.
That's right. If they're not, they're not going to do it less.
All right. Fantastic. What is the phone number for people to make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330.
You've been listening to Your Money with Fay Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Fay Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.